Good morning to each of you as we come in this time of worship. We remind you that we will share our virtual communion, and we ask that you have your elements prepared. Whatever you have in terms of bread or crackers, whatever you have in terms of beverage, whether water or juice, please have that prepared for our time of Holy Communion. Let us begin now with our call to worship. Psalm 17. And we should see that up on the screen in just a second. Let us begin with our call to worship. Hear our just cause, O Lord, attend to our cries. Give ear to our prayers from lips free of deceit. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied, beholding your likeness. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn is, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, which will be read by Mrs. Nell Scandy of Presbyterian Church of Teaneck. Mrs. Dandy, if you would hit asterisk 6, star 6 on your phone. All right, we're having some technical difficulties. Here our scripture lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. you give them something to eat. They replied, we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowd. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000, men beside women and children. Here is our lesson for this morning, Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is something exciting about someone finding a previously undiscovered treasure. Last week, I mentioned to you about a U.S. Air Force veteran who bought a Rolex watch that turned out to be an astonishing investment. Works of art can do the same thing. In September of last year, a French woman took an old painting to an auction house to determine its worth. Previously, the woman had the painting hanging in the kitchen over a hot plate. However, an art evaluator visiting her home recognized the old painting and urged her to have it appraised. The painting depicted Jesus being mocked before his crucifixion. In fact, the painting was titled simply, Christ Mocked. Turns out, it was painted in 1280 by an Italian painter named Timbaldi. I think I'm pronouncing that right. He was a forefather of the Italian Renaissance. That painting that had previously hung above a hot plate in the elderly woman's house sold last year at auction for $26.8 million, the most ever paid for a medieval painting. But that was a pretty nice find. I believe you will agree. In fact, I'm still waiting to discover a hidden treasure in all of my stuff. Every time I get an opportunity, I look in old cracks or in old holes and hope that I'll find something of great value that someone has hidden away. Not too long ago, another homeowner in Toulouse, France, opened up his leaky attic for repairs and discovered a painting by the Renaissance artist Caravaggio. The painting is also estimated to be worth millions. However, I don't want you to think that the French have a franchise on such discoveries. A brother and sister in the United Kingdom were cleaning out their parents' house after their parents' death. They took a few items to an auction house to be appraised. One item was a tall vase with a fish image on it. To their surprise, the vase was made for the family of a Chinese emperor in the 18th century. Recently, this simple vase was auctioned off for $18 million. You see, I called it a vase rather than a vase. It was valued. How can these amazing works of art go unnoticed for decades or centuries? It's because it takes someone with special skill to see their work. Everyone else looked at these paintings or ceramics and saw something pretty, something nice. A trained art appraiser looked at them and saw a masterpiece. 2 different people looked at the exact same thing and they saw something vastly different. You see, it's all a matter of perspective. A woman named Siobhan Kukukiek tells about a friend of hers who teaches first grade in Toronto, Canada. This friend was teaching math to a class of 6-year-olds, including a group of newly arrived refugee children. The lesson that day was on fractions. The teacher explained the difference between a quarter and a half in fractions. Then she asked the class to write down whether they would prefer to have a quarter of a chocolate bar or a half of a chocolate bar. The teacher was surprised by the results of that little quiz. As she looked over their papers, she noticed that many of her refugee students wrote that they preferred a quarter of a chocolate bar instead of a half. The teacher was concerned that these students hadn't understood their lesson. But before correcting their math, she asked them why they chose a quarter of the chocolate bar rather than a half. And one little girl answered, so that more people can have a piece of chocolate. Two groups of children looked at the same thing, a chocolate bar. And one group saw a delicious snack, while the other saw an opportunity to share something good with others. It's all in how you look at things. It's all about what you see when you look at those things. Think about that very important difference as we deal with our Bible passage for today. Jesus and his disciples had traveled to a remote place. Crowds of people followed them, perhaps as many as 10,000, all of them wanting to be close to Jesus. Obviously, they thought that they would receive something from him. As the day passed, the disciples got tired. They asked Jesus to send the people away. It wasn't simply a matter of fatigue. They were concerned that the people wouldn't find enough to eat in the surrounding countryside. So they said, Jesus, tell them to go go back to the villages and find something to eat. But Jesus said the strangest thing. He said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Say what? The disciples wondered. What are you talking about? Feed this mob of people? No way. Now, we need to understand that Jesus often led his disciples into challenging situations, situations that required courage and insight and radical faith, situations that seemed too big for them. This was certainly no exception. Why would he do that? It was because he saw something that they didn't see. He saw the world with God's eyes. He saw a world in which anything was possible if you were aligned with. Today's story from Matthew gives us some of these basic ingredients for seeing the world as Jesus sees it, for taking into consideration what we are actually looking at. Listen to how the story begins. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Let's begin here. Seeing the world as Jesus sees it begins with compassion. Is compassion your default, your primary, your automatic setting when you look at people around you? Jesus looked at everyone he met with eyes of compassion. Football fans know the name Joe Burrow. Burrow led his team, the LSU Bengal Tigers, to last year's national championship in football. He also won the 2019 Heisman Trophy as the nation's most outstanding player. At the ceremony in which he accepted that trophy, he used his moment in the spotlight to speak some words of encouragement to the kids back in his hometown of Athens, Ohio. You may know that Athens, Ohio is one of the poorest towns of the Appalachian region. Through tears, Beryl said, "I'm up here for all those kids in Athens and Athens County that go home to not a lot of food on the table. Go home hungry after school." Then he added, "You guys can make it up here too." Within hours of Beryl's words, a man in Athens County named Will Draybone set up a fundraising site to raise money for Athens County, for the food pantry specifically. He was counting on Joe Beryl's words of compassion to inspire others, and he was right. Curious fans began searching for information on Athens County, Ohio. Within 2 days, generous folks around the country donated $260,000 to the Athens County Food Pantry, all because they were moved by Beryl's compassion for needy kids in his community. Compassion was Jesus' default, his primary setting. Compassion was at the very core of his nature. It's the reason why he gave up his power and authority as part of the Godhead and took on human flesh and human weaknesses and walked among us. Jesus' compassion for us is what led him to die for us on the cross. It was the only way to save us from our sins and restore us to God. You walk into almost any Christian gathering in any corner of the world, and you'll see a cross displayed there. Why? Because to followers of Jesus Christ, the cross is the greatest symbol of compassion in the world. Notice again the opening words of the story. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. What is Matthew referring to? What has just happened? It's important and it's tragic. Jesus had just found out that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded by King Herod. What a horrendous thing to happen to someone that you love and admire. So Jesus undoubtedly wanted some time alone to grieve his cousin's death, but the needy crowds followed him to the lonely place he went to grieve. They were desperate to hear his teaching or receive a healing touch. At this point, some would probably have gotten angry, annoyed at the very least. Some would have asked the disciples to send the people away right then and there. You know, every once in a while, everybody needs some me time. It reminds me of being in the hospital once. It was late. It had been a long day, and my medication had me on the verge of sleep. But one of the hospital workers recognized me from having visited his church. And he took that opportunity to share with me the concerns and issues that he saw at his church. All this while I just wanted to close my eyes and drift into Wawa land, as I call it. I wanted to drift into that needed sleep. So it is. Jesus needed some me time to grieve. But when he looked at this crowd of thousands, he didn't see a crowd. Someone once said, "There is one thing that God cannot do. God cannot see a crowd." And that was true with Jesus. He didn't see a crowd. He saw individuals made in the image of God, who were immensely precious in God's sight, and he saw that they were hurting, and he had compassion on them, thousands of them. When we operate from a place of compassion, we see others as God sees them. And suddenly, we want to help. We want to heal. We'll do what it takes because these people are valuable to God. And that makes them valuable to us as well. Seeing the world as Jesus sees the world inevitably leads to acts of compassion. Now, we often will have thoughts of compassion, but rarely do they lead to acts of compassion. But seeing the world from Jesus' eyes, when we pay attention to what we see, we are naturally led to acts of love and compassion. Seeing the world from Jesus' eyes and taking note of what we see involves us giving up some of our own rights and our own comforts and past and possessions to meet the needs of others. We may feel that we don't have enough resources to make a dent in something we feel compassionate about, but it's amazing what can happen when Jesus gets involved. What's the song says that says a little becomes a lot when you place it in the master's hands? The crowd that day numbered in the thousands, and Jesus told his disciples, "You give them something to eat." The disciples answered, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Jesus used what was at hand to meet the people's needs. It's a simple principle, but it's always the first step to a miracle. You see, we hold up our schedules and we say, "Lord, I don't have enough time to volunteer in my community." And Jesus looks at our schedule and says, "Bring it here to me." We look at our cabinets and say, "Lord, I don't have enough to give to the food pantry." Or we look at the bank accounts that we have and say, "Lord, I don't have any extra cash to give to mission and ministry." And Jesus looks at our bank accounts and says, "Bring it here to me." We hold up our hearts and say, "Lord, I don't have it in my heart to love that person. It's impossible." And Jesus looks at our hearts and says, "Bring it here to me." And it's when we look through Jesus' eyes and take to heart what we see that we can see, and that we can say rather, "Lord, my life belongs to you. I may not have much, but whatever I am and whatever I have, use it for the kingdom." And suddenly, we see a multitude of needs all around us, and we find a way to meet some of those needs. You see, when we care enough, we will sacrifice what we have to make a difference. Whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's energy, whether it's intellect, we're willing to give. Seeing the world through Jesus' eyes starts with compassion, both thoughts of compassion and acts of compassion. But here's the beautiful thing. Seeing the world through Jesus' eyes and taking note of what we see often leads to miracles being performed. After the disciples gave all their food to Jesus, Jesus took the bread and fish, gave thanks, broke both the fish and the bread, and gave it to the disciples. And the disciples gave what they had to the people in the crowd. Verse 20 says, "They all ate and were satisfied. Everyone, men, women, children, they got more than enough to eat. And after they ate, the disciples collected what was left, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers. Everyone was satisfied, and there was enough and more than enough leftovers." Seeing the world through Jesus' eyes and taking stock of what we see means being willing to share what we've got. Our strength, our time, our intellect, our love, our money, our resources with others. And we don't have to start with a lot of resources. We start with a lot of compassion and faith. Then God will take our resources to satisfy whatever needs has captured our heart. And miraculously, we discover we have plenty of resources left over for our own needs as well. I read a beautiful story recently of a little girl named Rachel Beckwith, who wanted to do something for people in need. In 2011, Rachel decided to donate her 9th birthday to an organization called Charity Water. Charity Water is a nonprofit that raises money to fund water projects around the world. Since 2006, they have funded 30,000 water projects in 26 countries and provided clean drinking water for over 8 million people. They have saved hundreds of thousands of people who have suffered preventable, who would have suffered preventable diseases or even died from drinking unclean water. One of the many ways that Charity Water raises money for their projects is to convince celebrities to donate their birthday to their charity. Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith, Justin Bieber, Kristen Bell, Jessica Biel, they are just a few of the celebrities who have asked family, friends, and fans to donate money to Charity Water in honor of their birthday. Now, Rachel Beckett, she isn't and wasn't a celebrity, but she decided to donate her birthday to this effort. She had a goal of raising $300 for the charity. She raised $220, but still, that's a really impressive amount of money for a 9-year-old child to raise. Tragically, just a few weeks after her 9th birthday, little Rachel died in a car accident. News media across our country spread the story of this generous child and her tragic death, and strangers began making donations to Charity Water in Rachel's honor. To date, $1.3 million have been donated in honor of Rachel. Enough money to provide clean water for over 37,000 people. Rachel Beckett saw the world with Jesus' eyes, and she paid attention to what she saw. She looked at the world with compassion. Instead of asking for presents for her birthday, she donated her birthday for others, a radical act of love and faith. And her compassion inspired people all over the world to give to Charity Water. Today, 37,000 people around the world have clean water because of that little girl's act. If that's not a miracle, like the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, I don't know what is. We can shut our eyes to the needs around us because we don't think we can make a difference, or we don't think it's our responsibility. But Jesus is looking at us, just as he looked at his disciples and saying, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat or drink or something to wear or a house to live in. You do it. Jesus wasn't planning a picnic that day. He was training his disciples in seeing the world through his eyes and how to pay attention. He was training them in how to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And he's still doing that today. Whenever you or I see a need, however large or small it may be, we see the refugee camps in our world. We see immigrant children still separated from parents. We see prisons flooded in the coronavirus outbreak. We see the growing numbers of those going to be at home. We see those on the verge of losing their homes, those who will be left alone tonight to wrestle with their fears of what will greet them tomorrow morning. Whatever the needs may be, and however small our resources are, we are to bring them to Jesus. Then we will see the miracle he can do through us and through all those who see the world through his eyes. May you be one of those. Amen. We take this time to share our joys and concerns. We ask our various elders who are with us to, we're not going to call you by name, we just ask you to, don't worry about it. We ask you just to come in as you need to. I'll share with you some joys that I've heard about over the week. And that's a congratulations to Fred Hendricks, who turned 44 on Thursday, which I cannot believe since I met Fred when he was 16 years old. Congratulations, Fred. We also say congratulations to Ed and Lerner Chang Soon, who are celebrating their 29th wedding anniversary this weekend. Congratulations to you. We share our concerns. We share our concerns for Art Cole, the son-in-law of Loretta Swartz, who will be having heart surgery on Wednesday. We share our concerns and our prayers for Gloria Jenkins. She is currently in a nursing home for physical therapy and rehab, but the hope is that she'll be returning home soon. We share our concerns for Nels Dandy as she deals with some health issues. We also share our concerns for Betty Bailey in Florida as they deal with the tropical storm, and they're on the verge of that. We heard from Betty Bailey this morning, and she says she's doing okay. There has been a heavy outbreak of coronavirus where she is, but she's doing okay. Are there other joys or concerns that our elders wish to share? We'll ask you just to come in as you need to.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
We share our concerns for our custodian at UPC, Mr. Frank McLaurin. He lost his mom during this past week. Her name was Georgie McLaurin. We also share our concerns for the aunt of Elder Denise Davis Miller. Her name is Wanda. She has been hospitalized unrelated to COVID, thank God, but at the same time, she's been hospitalized, so we ask for prayers for them both.
All right. One in terms of hospitalization, the other in terms of a prayer of comfort for the family, custodian of UPC. Are there other joys or concerns?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ed Miller here. I would first like to put out a prayer of thanksgiving. Happy birthday to Kevin Turner and Mrs. Jackie Collier. And also I would ask for prayers for my own family on the death of my dad's first cousin, Philip Thomas Miller II, out of San Diego, California, who passed away earlier this week.
Okay. So death in the Miller family, second in California, as well as congratulations on other birthdays. Other concerns?
Yes. My name is Deborah Neal from United Presbyterian Church. I'm asking for prayers for my sister, Darlene Neal, who is in the intensive care unit since Tuesday. Also unrelated to COVID-19, thank God. But if you just keep her in prayer, I thank you all.
Amen. So the sister of Deborah Neal, who's in intensive care. Are there other concerns?
Good morning, this is Vera Jones.
Good morning.
I want prayers for my great-granddaughter. J.L. Thompson had a tonsillectomy this week, and she wasn't doing too good during the week because she wasn't drinking, but so far yesterday she started back taking the medicine. They had to keep talking to her, and now she's doing a little bit better. And had some joys. Yesterday was my daughter Tisha and Lonnie Hammonds. It was the 25th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations to both of them.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. So a 25th wedding anniversary, as well as we lift our prayers for little Gail as she recovers from the tonsillectomy. Other joys and concerns. Let us then, as the people of God, join together in prayer. God of the past, God of the present, God of the ages to come, you set the seasons as we experience them. You cause the sun to rise and fall, numbering our days. The earth is yours, for you have made it. The heavens declare your handiwork. They are crafted according to your design. Streams gush from their sources to refresh us with clear water. Mighty rivers flow on their courses as you have decreed. The seas ebb and flow, and tides are determined. Waves dash against the shores, all as you have created. O Creator and unceasingly present God, we know that if we will but dwell in the midst of your mercy, we can be assured of your constant protection. So, Lord, what can happen? What can befall us to keep us from giving you thanksgiving? You wrestled with Jacob and he prevailed when he asked you to give him a blessing and called his name. You called his name Israel. He called the place where he wrestled Peniel, which means, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The covenant that you have made with him, you have never broken. You sent Jesus Christ as a sign of your love. You did not spare him when he was subjected to scorn. When he died for our sins, he made us the victors. When the grave could not hold him, we were granted new life. He knows of our plight and how we might suffer. He prays for our well-being so that we can rejoice. Lord, in face of all this, how can we not believe and remember that you are there, whether in times of sickness, for children or for adults, whether in times of grief, whether in times of joys, times when particular point is marked in our journey called life, whether in times of uncertainty, whether in times of pandemic, whether in times of social unrest, Lord, knowing what you have done in the past, how can we not believe that you hear our prayers and that you will protect? Who or what then can separate us from your love? We shall continue to endure persecution. In faithfulness to Christ, we persevere in our struggle against injustice and greed. Yet even when distress or peril confronts us, when uncertainty, when illness, when grief, when they befall, we are upheld by our Savior's redeeming grace. For all you have been, for all that you are, and for all that you will continue to be, we give thanks as we abide in your love. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us prepare for sharing bread and drink as we celebrate Holy Communion. Our hymn of preparation, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Let us join then in celebration of Holy Communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord, our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent your only son to be one of us, to redeem us and heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels, choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever sing to the glory of your name, saying, Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give you thanks that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was to be betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks for it, he broke it, saying, This is my body broken for you. Take and eat of it, for as often as you do, you show my death and suffering until I shall come again. In like manner, he took up the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we share may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send this out to be the body of Christ in the world, in union with your church in heaven and on earth. O God, that you may fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. The gifts of God for the people of God, we invite you to share in this time of communion. Eat of the bread, drink of the cup. And let us pray the prayer that you have printed in the communication you received, the prayer after communion. Almighty God, you provide the true bread from heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant that we who have received the sacrament of his body and blood may abide in him and he in us, that we may be filled with the power of his endless life, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, Let Us Talents and Tongue Employ.
Let us talents and tongues employ, reaching out with a shout of joy. Bread is broken, the wine is poured. Christ is spoken and seen and heard. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, as the world now knows about. Christ is able to make us one. At the table he sets the tone, teaching people to live and bless, loving word and in deed. Jesus lives, earth can breathe, pass the word, blows up the sends us out, bearing fruit in a world of doubt, gives us love. God Emmanuel everywhere. Jesus lives, earth can breathe. Pass the word around, loaves are found. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, loaves are found.
Let us be dismissed. We were having fun with that song. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, and with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. Amen. Go in peace. Invite you to unmute yourselves and to take this opportunity to greet one another. All right.
Unmute.
Hello, Marion. Hi.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, coming along.
Thank you again, Pastor, for a wonderful service.
Thank you. Thank you. We were having fun here.
Yes.
Go on with some of those hymns again. And we hope all of you will.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
Vera Jones, how are you?
Okay, yeah, we see the little symbol. We don't see your name on your emblem there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Are you all in the path of the storm there?
Yeah, they said Tuesday, coming this way about Tuesday, late Monday, Tuesday.
Well, it's extremely humid here.
Yeah, it's supposed to be humid, very humid here and hot, very hot today. Yesterday was a little milder, but today it's supposed to be like 95 or so.
Yeah, we're getting the humidity. So we're supposed to get some remnants of the storm, but you know, those folks in Florida, again, thinking about Betty Easley.
Yeah, that's a thing.
She's
doing
there.
Good.
Yeah, she's doing good.
Yeah.
So managing. And there's Ethel Brown. Hello, Ethel Brown. We saw you for a hot second.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Enjoyed the sermon. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. You're in the path of the storm too there. So
yeah, I heard. Oh gosh.
Okay.
Too hot to go out.
Well, yeah, too hot to go out and too hot to stay in. So all of us sit up here and end up, what they got it now, they call it the COVID-15, where you automatically gain 15 pounds during this pandemic.
Yeah.
So I think I've gained 15 plus. It's like, oh my goodness.
Oh God. I'm carrying around my COVID-15.
Yeah. So I think in about a month or so, it'd be the COVID-25. Thanks to Mr. Jim Collier for being our co-host this morning. And I didn't get a chance to thank Audrey England online. She was our co-host last week.
Oh, okay. So Marion, this is Peter. How are you?
Oh, coming along there.
Oh.
It was strong, man.
Okay. Glad to hear from you, huh?
It was strong.
Who's that?
No, I asked Marion Greg how she was doing.
Come in there long, Vera.
Okay, good, good. Hang in there.
I am.
Yeah, I heard another voice back there. Okay.
All right. It must be Kathy. It's Kathy Wahlberg.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Kathy. Yeah, hello. How's everybody?
We're doing okay. We're hanging in.
Oh, well, that's good. I miss everybody.
Yeah. We hope that, I don't know, our timeline might be thrown off a little bit. We had some plans for when we would get together again, but our timeline might be thrown off based upon what's happening. So we'll see.
But yeah, all, well, you're talking about that. I say you're talking about that COVID-15.
Yes.
It's not keeping people out of the stores, huh?
No, it's not. Oh, no, it's not. We will stand 6 feet apart to be in the grocery store line.
You got that right.
Hi, everybody. We're back now.
Okay. Well, did you have a good trip?
It was 93 where we were.
Oh, hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
So you're all right? You went away?
Yes, to Delaware.
Oh, okay. Nice.
It was very hot there.
Yeah, I bet.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jackie.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, many, many more.
We noticed Mr. Miller did not announce ages. He was smart.
Right.
Sweet 16.
I heard that.
Right. Oh, God.
Thank you.
Okay, Saints. Well, again, okay. Have a good day. And thank you all for sharing in this time of worship. And hopefully we'll see you online next Sunday.
Very good.
Okay. Have a good week.
Okay.
Have a good week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.